Nana Jaya Braj Janarajana Jaya Yashoda Nandana Jaya Braj Janarajana Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Yamuna Tiravana Chare Jaya Kunja Vihare Jai Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Jaya Radha Madhava Jaya Kunja Vihare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Radha Madhava Radha Madhava Radha Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Radha Jaya Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Prabhupada Shishi Radha Sham Sundar Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki. All glories to the seven devotees. All glories to the seven devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 38, Akrura's Arrival in Vrindavan, Text 2. So we'll read text 2 to 7, and then the 7th verse has a purport. So then we will recite the text 7. So I will just read text 2 to 6. Gacchan pati mahabhago bhagavat bhagavatyam bhu bhujekshane bhaktim param upagata evametadachintayat. As he traveled on the road, the great soul Akrura felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. And thus he began to consider as follows. Kim maya charitam bhadram kim taptam paramam tapa kim vathapyarhate dhattam Yadraksham Yadyakeshavam. Sri Akrura thought, what pious deeds have I done? What severe austerities undergone? What worship performed or charity given? So that today I will see Lord Keshava. Mama etadurlabham manye uttama shloka darshanam Vishayatmano yatha brahma kirtanam shudra janmana. Since I am a materialistic person, absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttama Shloka as it would be for one born a shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. So he's saying, I think it is as difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttama Shloka as it would be for one born as a Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. Maivam mamadhamasyapi syadeva chuta darshanam priyamana kala nadya kvachit tarati kashana. But enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. For one of the conditioned souls being swept along in the river of time may sometimes reach the shore. Mamadya mangalam nashtam fallavans chaiva me bhava Yannamasse bhagavato yogidhyeyangri pankajam. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated and my birth has become worthwhile. Since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. Now text 7. Please repeat after me. Kanso batad Dhyakritametvanugraham. Kamso bata dhyakritametvanugraham. Drakshen gripadmam prahito munahare. Drakshen gripadmam prahito munahare. Krittavatarasya duratyayam tama. Kritavatarasya duratyayam tama. Purve taranyan nakhamandala tvisha. Purve taranyan nakhamandala tvisha. Kanso batadhya kritametvanugraham. Drakshen gripadmam prahito munahare. Kritavatarasya duratyayam tama. Purve taranyan nakhamandala tvisha. Kamso bhatatya kritametvanugraham. Drakshen gripadmam prahito munahare. Kritavatarasya duratyayam. Purve taranyan nakhamandala tvisha. Padmam prahito munahare. Kritvavatarasya duratyayam. Purve taranyan nakhamandala tvisha. Mat. So, Bhataya. Nakshen Gripadmam Prahito Munahare. Kritvatarasya Duratyayam Mama. Purve taranyan nakhamandala tvisha. So batadhya kritametvanugraham. Rakshen vipadmam prahito munahare. Kritavatarasya duratyayam tama. Purve taranyan nakhamandalam tisha. Kansa. King Kansa. Bata. Indeed. Adya. Today. Akrit. Has done. Me. Toward me, ati anugraham, an act of an extreme kindness. Drakshe, I will see Angri Padmam, the lotus feet, Prahita, sent Amuna by Him, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krita, who has enacted Avatarasya, His descent to this world, Duratyayam, insurmountable, Tamaha, the darkness of material existence, Purve, persons in the past, Ataran, transcended, Ya, whose, Nakamandala, of the orb of the toenails, Tvisha, by the effulgence. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada and His disciples. Indeed, today King Kansa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of His toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Please repeat. Indeed, today King Kansa has shown me extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of Lord Hari, who has now appeared in this world. Simply by the effulgence of His toenails, many souls in the past have transcended the insurmountable darkness of material existence and achieved liberation. Purport. Akrura noted how ironic it was that the envious demoniac Kansa had given him an extraordinary blessing by sending him to see the Supreme Lord Krishna. Om Jnanam Timurandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Hayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Turubhyasya Kripa Sundubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavnibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Nama. So I'd like to humbly request the blessings of the devotees, especially the senior devotees, Prabhu, Shatakirti Prabhu and Maharaj, who are present here, and request them to please correct any mistakes and inspire us by their presence. So these are very amazing verses, and each one of these verses has such a deep import, such a deep meaning, that each one of them is like a theme in of itself. And so I was thinking that we can just go through these verses one by one and discuss them, because different verses are describing different wonderful messages. So we can start with this verse, since we read this, where Akrura is remembering, meditating upon the fact that how the Kansa is such a great demon. He is so averse to the Lord. Yesterday we were hearing from Maharaj how he's thinking of the Lord, but he's thinking of the Lord inimically. He's a great demon. But Kansa is here being the catalyst, being the impetus for him to see the Supreme Lord, for Akrura to see Lord Krishna. So here Akrura is saying that how wonderful it is that Kansa has shown me such mercy. Generally we think that the devotees of the Lord show us mercy. But here a great demon is showing him mercy. He says, how wonderful it is that a great demon like Kansa has shown me such extreme mercy by sending me to see the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. The word here is ati anugraham. great kindness, great anugraha, great mercy He has shown me by sending me to see the Supreme Lord. So I was thinking that this is so meaningful for devotees, for us who are aspiring to attain the Lord, aspiring devotees, that how anyone can become a catalyst for us to see the Lord. And therefore, the devotee of the Lord sees the presence of the Lord, the hand of the Lord, in every situation, in every person, at all times, in all places. A similar example of this is Marichi, right? Marichi, where he is sent by Ravana to steal Mother Sita, and he's actually a devotee of the Lord. He's actually a devotee of Lord Ram. He does not want to do this. He tells Kansa, Ravan, he says, don't try to do this. This will be the cause of your destruction. But Ravan tells him, you have two options. Either you go and do this, or I'm going to kill you. And so Marichi, he thinks, well, better to die by the hands of Lord Ram than the hands of Ravan. And this is actually a great benediction, that he's sending me to do this, but because of this, I will have the opportunity to see Lord Ram and to be killed by his arrow. So Marichi, he agrees to become the deer, the golden deer, and he goes and he does his work, knowing that this may even cause some trouble to the Lord, but he knows the Lord is all-powerful, so whatever will happen by the plan of the Lord, by the Lord's lila, by his own desire. So let me do this. At least I'll get the chance to see the Lord. Similarly, Akrura knows that to take the Lord away from his eternal devotees, the Brajavasis, is not good. But he knows that Krishna is all-powerful. If he wants to go, he'll go. If he doesn't want to go, I won't be able to take him back. But let me at least use this opportunity to see the Lord. So this is one example. There's so many examples in our scriptures where someone who is very cruel, who is very harsh, inimical, non-devotee, becomes a source of great benediction for another devotee. What's another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam of a great devotee who experiences some, someone else becomes the catalyst for the coming to Lord Krishna, who maybe treats them harshly? Yes. Huh? Dhruva Maharaj, yes, Dhruva Maharaj. Where Surichi, she is so envious of Dhruva, but she becomes a catalyst by which Dhruva goes to the forest and sees Lord Vishnu face to face. And afterwards, Dhruva Maharaj, he actually is very grateful. He thinks that because of Surichi and Uttama, her son, I was able to see the Supreme Lord. So this is a quality of a devotee, that the devotee therefore is never resentful of anyone. Because in every person, in any situation, he sees the hand of the Lord. And he sees that if this world treated me with love, then I have to be so grateful to them. Because they gave me their kindness, they gave me their mercy, they gave me their compassion. And because of this, I progressed in spiritual life. On the other hand, if someone treats me with harshness and unkindness, then they also are a blessing. Because of their harshness, because of their inimical behavior, I had to take shelter of the Lord. I did, surrender to Him. And therefore, they're also a source of great benediction. Many of you may have come to Vrindavan Dham as a result of someone, some situation, some difficulty in your life. And after coming, at that time it's so painful, right, in modern times like this we see. But after coming to Vrindavan Dham, we think, oh, this person, they became the source of my greatest benediction, that I attained the lotus feet of the Lord. I attained the Dhamma. I attained Krishna's mercy because of their mistreating me, externally speaking. And why is this so apt? Because Akrura is going to Vrindavan. Right? He is not going anywhere else. He's going to Vrindavan. He's getting the great opportunity to go to Vrindavan Dham to see the Supreme Lord because King Kansa is terrorizing all the devotees of the Lord. Because of King Kansa's tyranny, he is getting the opportunity to go to Vrindavan Dham. I remember many, many years ago when I was on Braj Mandal Parikrama, His Holiness Radharaman Maharaj, he was leading the Braj Mandal Parikrama, and he mentioned how that even to have the desire to go to Vrindavan, like we read that to come to Vrindavan is a matter of great benediction, that it's understood that in our previous life, this person has done many, many sacrifices, penances, austerity to come to Vrindavan Dham. But he was mentioning that even to have the desire to go to Vrindavan Dham, it's said that one has performed many Ashwamedha Yajnas, many sacrifices, just to have the thought that, oh, maybe I should visit Vrindavan Dham. Just to get even the desire to go, what to speak of actually going. So of course we understand that we have not done all those things. We understand that it's simply by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, mercy of the devotees. Simply by the causeless mercy of these pure devotees that we are here today. And therefore we are here for no other reason. Like Shruta Kirti Prabhu, he mentions in one of his books or something, he says, Prabhupada says that I am your good fortune. We have no other good fortune. It is only by Srila Prabhupada's good fortune that we are here today in Vrindavan Dham. So the point is that it is some great fortune that has brought us here. And that fortune is the mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. That fortune is maybe some agyata sukriti, some devotional service done in a previous lifetime. But that mercy may manifest through some unpalatable situation in this material world due to which we get the chance to come to Vrindavan. Because another theme of another verse is that until we have material ambitions, material desires, until we're very satisfied materially, we cannot attain the lotus feet of the Lord. So these unpleasant material situations, they remove the material fever. They reduce the material fever and they help us realize that this material world is such a horrible place, such a distasteful place. And so therefore my only shelter is the lotus feet of the Lord. And that is the only benediction, that is the only shelter that we have. So it is ironic, Akrura is saying, that an envious demon like Kansa could be the source of the greatest benediction. Therefore the Bhagavatam says, Tatenu kampam shushumikshumano punjana evatma kritam vipakam, that the devotee of the Lord is not worried who is treating him nicely or mistreating him, but he's accepting everything that comes to him as the mercy of the Lord. And Lord Brahma says therefore that a person who has that mood, that attitude, for him the abode of the Lord becomes his rightful claim. Why? Because he understands that in this world, he actually has true knowledge. He understands that in this world, not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. So not a blade of grass can move. So everything is the arrangement of my dear Lord. What is it that I have to be angry about or resentful about? Every arrangement has to be the arrangement of the Lord. Bhishma Dev similarly tells Maharaj Yudhishthira. He says that all these things are simply the plan of the Lord. It is simply the plan of the Lord and you must abide by it. And he says the plan of the Lord is perfect. Every plan of the Lord is perfect. But the unique quality of the plan of the Lord, he says, is that we cannot know that plan. He says you cannot know the plan, but we must surrender to it. Right? So Akrura, we were hearing yesterday, he knew that the Lord will appear and simply out of his greed to see the Lord, he decides to stay with Kansa, because he knows that Krishna will come to kill him one day. So if I'm staying with him, then one day I will see him. And this is so wonderful. So now back to text 2. Akrura is traveling to Vrindavan. And here is described that as he traveled on the road, the great soul Akrura felt tremendous devotion for the lotus-eyed personality of Godhead. And thus he began to consider as follows. So it's described that when we are embarking on our journey to Vrindavan, we can read this section, right? Because this is the anticipation of a devotee going to meet the Lord, going to Vrindavan Dham. He's presenting great anticipation that I will see my Supreme Lord. I will get the chance to actually see the Lord. And so therefore he feels great devotion within his heart that finally, after so many years of waiting, after millions of lifetimes of traveling in this material world, I will have the good fortune of seeing the Supreme Lord. So, this is the anticipation of a devotee. Srila Prabhupada says that we cannot really expect to see the Lord within this lifetime. Probably not, definitely not for me. But we can anticipate the arrival of a great devotee. A devotee similarly feels this great sense of anticipation, excitement, when a great devotee is about to come. So in preparation, one thinks that now I will get the mercy of the Lord. So this mood of anticipation is very important. That we realize that how fortunate we are. Our good fortune, we try to appreciate that the Lord has been so kind that I may have this wonderful association. Text 3, Sri Akrura thought, what pious deeds have I done? What severe austerities? What worship performed or charity given? So that today I will see Lord Keshava. Since I am a materialistic person, absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is difficult for me to have gotten this opportunity to see Lord Uttama Shloka, just as it would be for one born a Shudra to be allowed to recite the Vedic mantras. So Akrura is thinking here that what have I done in my previous lives that I would have the opportunity to see the Supreme Lord? What is it that I could have done? What austerities, what penances, what service could I have done that I would get this great opportunity? And then he says immediately that I am such a materialistic person that it is impossible for me to have done anything good by my own strength to have gotten this good opportunity. There's no way that I could have done anything to get this great fortune. But still, some are the other, I'm getting this good fortune. So in the Nectar of Devotion in chapter 18, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, this is described as a quality of a devotee on the stage of bhava and prema also, it's included. And this is called Asha Bandha, that a devotee on that stage feels hope against hope. Prabhupada translates as hope against hope. That though I have no reason to hope, there's no reason for me to think that I have any qualification to see the Lord. But still, because one has so much ecstatic love for Krishna, one thinks, but some or the other, by the mercy of the Lord, I will see the Lord. Right? I have no hope to see the Lord. There's no possibility, there's no chance for me to see the Lord. My life, my whole mind is filled with sinful thoughts and sinful activities. What good could I have done? Like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that I am lower than the worm in stool. There's only bad things coming in my mind all the time. But still, though I have no hope, I still hope by the mercy of the Lord that one day, very soon, I will see the Lord. And this is an expression of Asha Bandha, hope against hope. Srila Prabhupada explains in that section that the devotee feels that because I am performing the regulated activities of devotional service, he particularly writes this, Srila Prabhupada, because I am doing the regulative activities of devotional service, some or the other, I will get the mercy of the Lord. So that Asha Bandha, that hope, is not based upon just empty feelings of some sentimental feeling that I'm so fallen, but Krishna one day will appear in my dream and I'll just see Krishna standing Shyama Sundar in front of me. But the hope is, Prabhupada says, that because I'm performing the regulated practices of devotional service, because I'm doing what I have been told to do, I'm following the instructions of my spiritual master, I'm trying to rise early in the morning and chant my 16 rounds, I'm trying to read Srimad Bhagavatam and associate with the devotees, then even though my heart is black, but still, by the mercy of this process, by the mercy of the Lord, I will see the Lord one day. And Srila Prabhupada said this so many times. He said, if you follow the four regulated principles, if you chant your 16 rounds, I will take you back home, back to Godhead. So the hope is based on that promise, that the devotee has promised. Therefore I have some hope. Therefore I have hope. So this is an exhibition of this quality, and it's also an exhibition of dainya, of the devotee's extreme humility. Akrura is an associate of the Lord. Akrura is so advanced. Akrura is so wonderful. But he feels that I am completely unqualified. So similarly, we also have to feel this way, even more so. Actually, it is a fact. We have to feel that I am unqualified. They are not unqualified, but they are feeling unqualified. I am unqualified. And therefore, I have no hope. But my hope is that if I perform the regulative activities of devotional service, then I will be able to see the Supreme Lord. So here, Akrura's meditation is that I may go and see the Supreme Lord. I may go to Vrindavan Dham. And Srila Prabhupada describes that our meditation is, some or the other, I may please my spiritual master. Our meditation is our service to the Lord. Some or the other, I can fulfill my service to the Lord. I can please Him by fulfilling these instructions that are given. One time, after Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur left this world, then one of his disciples, Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, was lamenting. This was many years after he left. He wrote one poem, and in that poem he was writing how, after my spiritual master left, my heart became broken. After my spiritual master left, I lost my heart and soul. After my spiritual master left, I lost my, you know, inspiration, my enthusiasm. And Srila Prabhupada read this and he said, this sentiment is good. The feeling of separation is good. But he said, but he did not serve, Prabhupada said. The sentiment is good. But if he's actually feeling separation from his spiritual master, if he's actually feeling a great sense of closeness from his spiritual master, then he should have dedicated his life to serving his spiritual master, to fulfilling the instruction of his spiritual master. And I was thinking that how Srila Prabhupada, his whole meditation in life was fulfilling the instruction of his spiritual master. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had instructed him that if you ever have time and money, then print and distribute books. Print these books and distribute them. And Srila Prabhupada's whole mission, his life, revolved around this principle where he was continuously writing because he wanted to share this Krishna Katha with the whole world in the form of these books. And so his whole mission, his whole life was a meditation that how may I somehow please my spiritual master? I am so unqualified, but if I can please the spiritual master, then my life will be successful. I'm unqualified to do so, but I'm hoping against hope that if I simply follow his instructions, I can please him. So he takes such pains and he writes these books. He personally distributes these books. And how us, his followers, his great grand disciples, how our meditation should be how to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's meditation, his instruction. And how our meditation should be to further distribute these literatures that Srila Prabhupada left to us. So that every home may have the chance to receive the pastimes, the activities, the knowledge about Krishna's abode and Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada in one place he said that my heart's desire is that in every home this Krishna book should go. Particularly he said about the Krishna book. He said, my heart's desire is that every home should have the copy of this Krishna book. He said, in large form or in small form. So that is Srila Prabhupada's heart's desire. And our meditation, how this can be relevant to us, can be that how can, in some way or other, in some form or the other, how can we fulfill Srila Prabhupada's heart's desire and put Krishna in every home in this world? So, Akrura, he says, I haven't done anything good. I'm a materialistic person. But then he says, text 5, but enough of such thoughts. After all, even a fallen soul like me can have the chance to behold the infallible Supreme Lord. For one of the conditioned souls being swept along in the river of time may sometimes reach the shore. So he says, by good fortune, in the ocean, sometimes some fishes are swept to the shore, right? For no reason, but other than good fortune. Something may come to the shore. Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, right? In this whole Brahmanda Brahmite, we are circling, going on this ring around. Kon Bhagivan Jeev, some very fortunate soul may have the opportunity to be swept to shore by reaching, by getting contact with the causeless mercy of the pure devotee of the Lord. So he says, enough of this. Somehow or the other, I have swept to the shore of this ocean by my good fortune. And now that good fortune is already there, so I should stop thinking. I should now just meditate, prepare for meeting with the Supreme Lord. Kon Bhagyavan Jeev, how is it possible that I've been so fortunate? Sometimes it actually, you know, we think that there's so many living entities in this world, so many people. How is it possible that we were so fortunate to come in contact with this mercy movement? Right? How is it possible? It almost feels too good to be true. It feels unreal that there's so many blades of grass, so many mosquitoes, so many animals all around the world. But somehow or the other, we had the good chance of meeting a devotee, of coming in contact with Krishna consciousness. How much we have to be grateful for. Otherwise, we could have just been one more soul. But we have been swept to the ocean. This analogy also reminded me of the analogy of the sparrow and Garuda, right? That the sparrow is trying to empty the ocean. Prabhupada describes in Bhagavad Gita that he's trying to empty out this ocean with his little beak because he wants to get his small eggs. And there's so many fishes that lose their eggs, but somehow she is trying to empty out the ocean. And Garuda sees this small sparrow. And by the good fortune of this sparrow, Garuda, and their determination, their effort, Garuda becomes merciful and says, okay, now I will help you. And decides to help the sparrow empty out the ocean. And then, of course, the sparrow gets the eggs back. Prabhupada gives this example. So in the same way, by our good fortune and by our effort, our determination, we may get the mercy of the Lord. Then last verse, and then we'll have covered these. Today all my sinful reactions have been eradicated, and my birth has become worthwhile, since I will offer my obeisances to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet, which mystic yogis meditate upon. So, finally, Akrura is saying that now, by seeing the Lord, by going to Vrindavan, all my sinful reactions will become eradicated. Krishna in the Gita says, Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam raja, aham tvam sarva pape bhyo. That Krishna burns away all of our sinful activities, all of our papa. And in one commentary, the Vaishnava Acharyas, they say that this sharanam raja means go to raja. Krishna is telling Arjuna that go to raja and take shelter of the Lord there in Vrindavan Dham. Right? Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj tells Hiranyakashipu that go to the forest. And Prabhupada says this forest means Vrindavan Dham. Because by going there, all of our sinful reactions are eradicated. Everything is burned up. The problem is that when we leave Vrindavan, then again we start sinning. But if we come to Vrindavan, everything becomes burned up. And this is our good fortune, that some or the other, that getting the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, getting the shelter of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, all of our sinful activities are eradicated. And we can meditate, we can focus our mind upon the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. So this whole theme of this section is absorption, right? That we must absorb our minds in Krishna. Some or the other, we must absorb our minds in Krishna. Rupa Goswami says, only one rule and only one regulation. Some or the other, fix our mind on Krishna. Always think of Krishna and never forget Him. And best way to absorb our mind in Krishna is to absorb our minds in the pastimes of the Lord, in meditating upon the different activities, the pastimes of the Lord. But this absorption is necessary. We can be absorbed through our service. We can be absorbed by associating with great devotees of the Lord. We can be absorbed by reading these books. We can be absorbed by distributing these books. But the absorption must be there. All these devotees we see, they have their absorption. Akrura is absorbed and is thinking, how is it that I can meditate, how is it I can see the Lord? And here he's, in text 4, he's giving a very important point that it is materialistic persons who find it difficult to be absorbed in the Lord. The thing that breaks our absorption is our material desires. Saying, materialistic persons are simply absorbed in sense gratification. So what breaks that absorption is our material desires. Our material ambitions, our desires for this and that. And absorption in the Lord is giving up those material desires. Just like later on in Akrura's pastime, we see that when he's in Dvarka, we had started discussing this yesterday, then there's two, you know, extended narrations of Akrura, one here and then one in relation to the Shamantaka jewel and Satrajit. So some or the other, the Shamantaka jewel was very, very amazing. It was given by the sun god to Satrajit. It produced some 170 kgs of gold every day. So this was, you know, no ordinary jewel. You know, just imagine, when Satrajit used to wear it, then people thought the sun god had come. That's how brilliant it was. And so Akrura and others, Kritavarma, Satrajit, they became attracted to this golden jewel, like the Shamantaka jewel. And because of their attraction to this jewel, their absorption in the Lord reduced. They began plotting in different ways how to get this jewel. To the point that they conspired to kill Satrajit, who was the father-in-law of Krishna. Satrajit was the father of Satyabhama. And so Satrajit, he wanted to keep this jewel for himself. And one time, he gave it to his brother, and his brother was in the forest, and some lion killed him. And the lion took this Shamantaka jewel, and then Jambavan took the jewel from the lion, and Satrajit thought that Krishna had stolen it. So he began to defame Krishna and say that Krishna has stolen my Shamantaka jewel. And then Krishna didn't like this, so he wanted to set his reputation straight. So Krishna goes and finds Jambavan, he fights with him, and he gets this jewel back. And then when he brings this jewel back, then he gives it to Satrajit. He says, this is the jewel you wanted, here it is, and this is the story. So Satrajit feels very regretful. He's a devotee of the Lord, so he feels very regretful. So he approaches Krishna, and he tells Krishna that I want to apologize for my mistake. I did a great offense to you. In the whole Dvaraka, I was defaming you, saying that you have stolen, you have killed my brother, and stolen the Shamantaka jewel. So to apologize, I want to give you this jewel back, and I want to give you my daughter as your wife. So Krishna feels very happy by this gesture, by this apology. He accepts Satyabhama, but he returns the jewel back to Satrajit. And why he returns it, Srila Prabhupada explains, Srimad Bhagavatam explains, he returns the jewel back to Satrajit, because he could understand that in Satrajit's heart, Satrajit wanted to give his daughter to Krishna. He understood there's no better groom for my daughter, Satyabhama, than Krishna. But he still wanted to keep the jewel. He was still attached to the jewel. So he's giving Krishna the jewel, but he still was like, no, I want to keep this jewel. He was giving it, you know, grudgingly, or just out of embarrassment, but he was still attached to the jewel. And Krishna knew his heart, and therefore he said, no, you take this jewel back. material attachment, materialistic desire is so strong. Just see, these are in Dwarka, the associates of the Lord. But still, they're attracted to they're not attracted to some, you know, little ring or diamond like we are. But when the Shamantaka jewel came, they became attracted. You know, it was like big enough attraction where they were still attracted. So the jewel was still attractive to him. So Krishna returned it to him because he could understand the heart of Shatrajit. That his heart is still not there. He doesn't want to give it. So he needs to become purified of this. So very important point there that Krishna knows what our heart's desire is. Right? If we are still absorbed in material desires and material thoughts, Krishna sees that and then he doesn't give himself fully to us. He is saying, text 4, since I'm a materialistic person, absorbed simply in sense gratification, I think it is difficult for me to see the Lord. It is difficult for those who have material desires to see the Lord. So he gives the jewel back to him. And Satyajit actually feels very happy in his heart. Ah, Krishna's taken my daughter. I've apologized for this, but I got the jewel back. Perfect dear. But he didn't know that by getting that jewel back that produced 170 kgs of gold a day, he was simply being, that jewel was his enemy. He is simply causing harm to himself. Because this is the nature of material opulences, material things. The moment we have it, there's fear, there's danger, there's anxiety, there's great danger. So now he has this jewel. Krishna didn't take this jewel, and he didn't give it to Krishna. So what is it? Then everyone else in the world wanted to take it from him. See? Then someone else will take it from you. We don't give it to Krishna, then someone else will take it from you. I had this experience right before coming to Vrindavan Dham. I won't get into it. But I was thinking of giving some Lakshmi. And then I thought, no, I won't give it. And somehow, I lost that Lakshmi. It's a significant amount. Just got stolen something. I cannot find it. It got lost. So you don't want to give it to Krishna, then Krishna takes it away from you. Someone will take it away from you. Just like in the Gita, Krishna says, "Time I am, the great destroyer." Right? To those who don't worship me, I come in the form of death. So we come to Krishna voluntarily, he will accept us. We come involuntarily, he will still take us in the form of death. But he'll take us without our good fortune, our devotion being there. We'll have to forcibly surrender. So Satyajit, he has this jewel. Now there's three other people who want this jewel. Shatadhanva, Akrura, and Kritavarma. And Shatadhanva, he is, more sinful in nature. And Akrura and Kritavarma, they are devotees of the Lord, but somehow they have this material desire that they want this jewel. They have Krishna, imagine, but they want this jewel. This is why Narad Muni, he tells Nalakuvera and Manigriv when he sees there that in this world there's so many things that tie a person down, but there's nothing more than material opulence, than wealth, that can keep a person entangled in this material world. So they think, we want this jewel. And Akrura is a very pious person. He's known. He's very famous for being a very, very elevated person, high-minded, he's described here, right? So Akrura and Kritavarma, they instigate Shatadhanva to kill Shatrajit. And this time, he is the father-in-law of Krishna. So he's not an ordinary person. I mean, he's Satyabhama's father who's married to Krishna. And Shatadhanva, he being, mad with lust and greed, he goes and kills Shatrajit. And he takes that jewel away. So Krishna, two things here. One, that was such a sinful activity. But Shatrajit has to learn. He has to become purified by actually being killed, to be purified of that desire of having this jewel. He chose the jewel over Krishna in some ways, right? So Krishna, to purify the devotee sometimes, he does these pastimes. He's his father-in-law. He's his great devotee, but still he had this material attachment. And this wealth became the noose on his throat, and this became so. He becomes killed. Now Krishna becomes very angry, and he says that how can anyone kill my father-in-law? And he says, I will punish the killer. So he goes and he finds Shatadhanva, and he kills Shatadhanva. You know, he has to die as a result of this offense. And then before this happens, Shatadhanva knows Krishna is coming after me. He gives the jewel to Akrura, and Akrura is keeping this jewel with him. And when Akrura and Kritavarma hear that Shatadhanva has been killed by Krishna for this jewel, then you would think that they would take this jewel and offer it to Krishna. You know? I mean, finally so much has happened. But no, they take this jewel and they leave Dwarka and they go to the kingdom of Kashi. Imagine. They leave and they go to the kingdom of Kashi. Akrura goes and he says, well, you know, Krishna's coming after him. I should leave this place. And he takes the Shamantaka jewel and he goes to Kashi. Just see material attachment, how strong it can be. And as a result of this, he's there. Then of course, afterwards, Krishna calls Akrura back. He summons him. And to Akrura, he is very respectful. And he says, you live in Dwarka with the jewel. I have no problem because I don't want this jewel. Whoever has this jewel is actually, it's their misfortune. Because they will always live in fear of this jewel, someone killing them. So Krishna doesn't want it. He lets Akrura keep it. But the point here, again, is that the absorption must be there. We must absorb our minds in Krishna and not in material things. And absorbing our mind in Krishna means giving up our attachment for materialistic things. Therefore, and we'll end with this, therefore Queen Kunti says, Janmaishvarya Shruta Shribhir Edamana Madhapuman Naivarhatya Vidhatum Vai Tvamakinchana Gocharam. That as long as we want Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta and Shri, as long as we are aspiring after these things, we cannot approach the Lord with feeling. Because we will be running after Janma, we will be running after Shri, Aishwarya, birth, beauty, education and wealth. We will be running after these things rather than Lord Krishna. So I'll stop here, and we have many senior Vaishnavas present here. We'd like to hear their comments. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. There's any comment? Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, Maharaj, for reminding us that the same great Vaishnava Akrura, who is you know, having ecstatic feelings of separation from Krishna when he's going to Vrindavan, later on he becomes attracted to the Shamantaka jewel. So how is that possible? That is because this was the arrangement of the Lord. Akrura had displeased the gopis. They had cursed him because he had taken Krishna away from Vrindavan. And therefore, later on, he becomes like this. He, you know, he has this mentality. And therefore, we also have to remember that how important it is not to offend the devotees of the Lord, because one can come to such a great stage but then have so much trouble in our spiritual life because of some offense. So Akrura, he had this, you know, inimical feeling, so to say, or this attachment to material things because of his offense to the gopis, because he took Krishna away. One question back there. First Mataji and then Prabhu here.
Hare Krishna.
Well, with my limited knowledge, whatever I'll say, and then other Vaishnavas can comment, there's this pastime of Rupa Goswami, I believe, and the Brahmana who is hunchback, right? And you're thinking of that also, right? That Rupa Goswami was in meditation, was seeing the pastimes of the Lord, and in his meditation of seeing some humorous pastime of Krishna, he began to laugh. Rupa Goswami began to laugh. And when he was laughing, then at that time there was a hunchback Brahman who was walking by. And Rupa Goswami is, that Brahman is thinking that Rupa Goswami is laughing at me. And he becomes very insulted. He feels offended. And at that moment, Rupa Goswami's meditation broke. And he thinks, how is it possible that my meditation broke? As a result, you know, I must have offended someone, done some aparadh. It's impossible. And then he thinks he must have done something, so he finds out the cause, and he finds that this Brahman had become insulted when he was laughing. And therefore, due to that offense, his meditation broke. So, it is a fact actually that knowingly or unknowingly, as a result of service or not a result of service, if we offend a devotee of the Lord, the reaction will come. It will come. And that's why Srila Prabhupada mentioned that's why our service is a razor's edge, right? And he mentioned especially those devotees that are in management or those devotees who have some leadership position or something, they have a very difficult task. But the thing is that devotees like Akrura, Srila Prabhupada, you know, all these devotees, that they are willing to take that reaction if it pleases Lord Krishna. If it pleases the Lord and Srila Prabhupada and the spiritual master. They're willing to take it. They know the reaction will come, but they're willing to accept it because it is their service. And that is the greatness of a devotee. The great devotee is not just that he avoids offenses, but he knows that invariably there will be offenses in my service, but I'm willing to accept it if this is the instruction of my spiritual master. And when that mood is there, when they're not offending intentionally, but it is unintentionally through one's service, then the spiritual master himself will protect the devotee. So in getting that reaction, there'll also be protection. In getting that reaction, the Lord and the spiritual master will protect. And actually, this is such a nice point, because I was thinking about this, that why Krishna, he kills Shutadharma. But when Akrura comes with the jewel, and Akrura has instigated Shutadharma, he is participant in the murder, right? But when Akrura comes, then to Akrura, he invites him so lovingly in Dwaraka, and he says, "You are a noble soul. Ever since you have left, there's been inauspiciousness. Please come and stay. Keep the jewel with you." Why didn't he punish Akrura in the same way? Why was he partial in this way? It seems like he was, you know, unfair. Because Akrura is being protected by the Lord. Because the Lord knows that he was just doing his service, like you're saying. He came to take the Lord because it was the Lord's desire. The gopis cursed him. That was the plan of the Lord. And that mentality was a result of that offense, but it is actually not his fault. So he was just protecting him. Yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I just have a short question to ask. Why is the Lord called Uttama Shloka?
Uttama Shloka. Yes, well, meaning is that he is described by the highest verses, meaning the highest, the greatest descriptions are the descriptions about the Lord. In other words, only the best of language is the glorification of the Lord. But maybe Maharaj can describe further, I don't know fully, yes. Is Uttama Shloka.
Prabhuji, I'm really satisfied with your answer.
Thank you, Hare
Krishna. Thank you.
Okay, we'll end now. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Radha Shyama Sundar ki.